For the first time in weeks, the third-floor lounge was empty for a while as drenched card players dried themselves off and put on fresh clothes. Many of them also took care of some stuff Skip Kirk had suggested in the infirmary waiting room. When Nate and Skip and I came back from dinner, however, it was business as usual in the lounge. Three tables were up and going. "Hey, Riley," Ronnie said. "Twiller here says he's got a study date. If you want to see it, I'll teach you how to play the game." "Not tonight," I said. "Got studying to do myself." "Yeah," Randy Eccles said. "The art of self-abuse." "That's right, honey. A couple more weeks of hard work and I'll be able to switch hands without missing a stroke, just like you." As I started away, Ronnie said, "I had you stop, Riley." I turned around. Ronnie was leaning back in his chair, smiling that unpleasant smile of his. For a short period of time, out there in the rain, I had glimpsed a different Ronnie, but that young man had gone back into hiding. "No," I said, "you didn't. It was a done deal." "No one shoots the moon on a hold hand," Ronnie said, leaning back farther than ever. He scratched one cheek, busting the heads off a couple of pimples. They oozed tendrils of yellow-white cream. "Not at my table, they don't. I had you stopped in clubs." "You were void in clubs, unless you reneged on the first trick. You played the ace of spades when Lenny played the douche, and in hearts, I had the whole court." Ronnie's smile faltered for just a moment, then came back strong. He waved a hand at the floor, from which all the spilled cards had been picked up. The bloody remains of the overturned ashtray still remained. Most of us had been raised in homes where moms cleaned up such messes. "All the high hearts, huh? Too bad we can't check and see." "Yeah, too bad." I started away again. "You're going to fall behind on match points," he called after me. "You know that, don't you?" "You can have mine, Ronnie. I don't want them anymore." I never played another hand of hearts in college. Many years later, I taught my kids the game, and they took to it like ducks to water. We have a tournament at the summer cottage every August. There are no match points, but there's a trophy from Atlantic Awards, a loving cup. I won it one year and kept it on my desk where I could see it. I shot the moon twice in the championship round, but neither was a hold hand. Like my old school buddy Ronnie Malenfant once said, no one shoots the moon on a hold hand. You might as well expect Atlantis to rise from the ocean, palm trees waving. At 8 o'clock that night, Skip Kirk was at my desk and deep in his anthro text. His hands were plunged into his hair, as if he had a bad headache. Nate was at his desk, doing a botany paper. I was sprawled on my bed, struggling with my old friend, geology. On the stereo, Bob Dylan sang, "She was the funniest woman I ever seen, the great-grandmother of Mr. Clean." There was a hard double rap on the door, pow, pow. "Floor meeting," Deary called. "Floor meeting in the rec at 9 o'clock. Attendance mandatory." "Oh, Christ," I said. "Burn the secret papers and eat the radio." Nate turned down Dylan, and we heard Deary going on up the hall, rapping that pow-pow on every door and yelling about the floor meeting in the rec. Most of the rooms he was hailing were probably empty, but no problem. He'd find the occupants down in the lounge, chasing the bitch. Skip was looking at me. "Told you," he said.
This ends Disc 14.